Hello, and welcome to Learn to Peak, the podcast focused on equity, education, and learning to live. Today, we're going to discuss whether or not we need to waive parts of the special education law amid the coronavirus pandemic. Our secretary, Ms. DeBose, has a big job ahead of her, and her shoulders may be heavy. But we have children who are learning at home, learning on their front porch, learning in their basements and in their backyards, who have individual education plans. These plans were drafted by a team of professionals that outline specific things that the students need in order to be successful. Successful is not relevant to a letter or a number grade. Success is relevant to the needs that that child has that address the way they learn, the way they respond, and what they need in order to build on those foundational building blocks. Now, the Secretary of Education proposed provisions for individuals with disabilities under the Education Act, or IDEA, that they should be waived. And lots of states would benefit from this waiver because it would enable certain differentiations and certain other materials that students need to not be needed at the this particular moment because of the form we're in. However, I'm not sure if they asked any of the parents or caregivers of these students if that makes sense. There are students who have disabilities that cannot be addressed by people who are not education professionals. There are students who have disabilities that require equipment, that require additional instructional time, that require traveling to another building, hands-on services. Are we putting the health and safety of our staff at risk if we send our staff out to the homes of these students? Consider that the school structure that we have in place right now is not set up for us to send professionals out to students' homes. Can we provide support for an individualized education plan on a back porch or basement or in someone's kitchen? And are we saying that these rights and these services may not be needed at this time? Well, I'll tell you like my grandmom said, if you need the medicine, then you're sick. If you're sick sometimes, you're sick all the time. There is no way that we could honestly say that these students don't need the services for a week, a month, a year, or any specific time. We don't want to just waive rights and require districts to make good faith efforts to provide special ed for students. A good faith effort works when you're putting a down payment on a house, when you are checking your escrow balance with your mortgagor. What parent wants a good faith effort when it comes to their child? The current educational structure may not suit waiving certain rights. And within our educational structure, those rights are tied to dollars and cents. That's the question that we're looking at today. Whether or not the longstanding issue of special ed can be addressed by waiving the rights. And can remote learning be effectively modified for students who need other things? And remember, other services runs the gamut from different size texts to to wheelchairs, to vocational and occupational therapy, to different types of computer screens. Everyone deserves the same opportunities to do their best. And in order to provide everyone with the same opportunities, what we must do is first identify what those opportunities are, identify providers who can get those materials to students, and to make that a priority. And the priority is liberation. The priority is not equality. Equality is we all have access to iPads or tablets or laptops or Chromebooks. What about the instances when a student specifically needs a certain type of technology? And how will we manage futuristic technology when it comes to special ed? Ms. DuVos has proposed idea provisions for others to follow. And she has to consider keeping the health and safety of those students the forefront of her mind. But waivers to those laws could gut civil rights protections for students with disabilities. We want those students and their families to understand that their rights are being protected. We want them also to understand that if parts of the special education law are erased, waived, or lifted for 1 week, 1 month, one period, what's to protect us from it happening again? What's to protect those students who need those special services? And how will we go about identifying students who need special services? Now, if you're not a teacher or you're not in the education forum, you may not understand how identification works. When we say special needs, we don't necessarily mean that a student is getting something extra or more. Special in this case just means a direct modification that's identified for a student and tracked annually by a panel of professionals within the school system that can help support and drive all other activities that the child is going through. It's very important to understand how that works and what's going to happen to it. We have provisions for individuals with disabilities. And if we're worried about being held accountable for these specific services, we have to ask the question whether or not we should require districts to make a good faith effort despite the digital age, or if we should waive away the immediate technical challenges of having individual education plans. Either way, if you do not have an individual education plan, the funds that that child receives should be adjusted as well. Or should they? Please check the notes below, as I am going to onboard an article that I'd like you to take a look at from Education Next. We're going to be discussing the best cases and worst cases for changing the rules. And I know when I was a kid, rule always meant something that you couldn't do. But this time of digital learning, flexibility is really the only rule that we can all be sure that we're going to live by. We need to service the needs of students, not schools, not businesses, but of students.